This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Summer's here, and Nordstrom has everything you need for your best dress season ever. From beach days and weddings to weekend getaways and your everyday wardrobe. Discover stylish options under $100 from tons of your favorite brands like Mango, Skims, Princess Polly, and Madewell. It's easy, too, with free shipping and free returns, in-store order pickup, and more. Shop today in-stores, online at Nordstrom.com, or download the Nordstrom app.
Pump up the volume.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
With the first pick, the Dallas Mavericks select Cooper Flagg.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Is Ace Bailey going to be a Philadelphia 76er tonight?
The Utah Jazz select Arius Ace Bailey from Rutgers University.
Earlier on the show, host of the Club 520 podcast and NBA All-Star Jeff Teague. Coming up, co-host of All the Smoke podcast, Matt Barnes. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Ah, yes. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take your phone calls in a matter of moments. Matt Barnes is making his way to our studio. We'll check out what's going on in his brain. He's going to come into the smokeless environment of the Rich Eisen Show. So, should we rename our show None of the Smoke?
Maybe he'll bring some of the smoke.
Maybe.
Or maybe he will. Yeah. TJ Plus.
I mean, we still have to see if that's legitimate. I was thinking about that.
What do you mean? What do you mean? A follow up? You're saying
take a ride up to Santa Barbara, man.
Take a ride.
We always joke about it, but I'm like, did he really do
that? Santa Barbara's not far.
I just wonder if it's really existing out there, and am I getting a cut of its proceeds?
Fun chat with Jeff Teague as well.
Yeah, you should be getting a little.
Oh, phone lines are lit. Look at this, guys. Look at us on the final Thursday of June, huh?
Phone lines are lit.
Phone lines are lit. Sort of. I guess this is the smoke.
Exactly. Yeah. Come on, Rich. You get it.
Very good. Fitz in Dallas wants to talk to us. Fitz. What's up, Fitz?
Fitz.
Hey now, gentlemen.
Hey now,
Fitz.
Oh my.
What's up, Fitz?
Greetings to y'all. I'm still riding high right now because while I live in Dallas, born in Dallas, I grew up in Oklahoma.
Yes.
And I was blessed to go to actually the team name announcement when they were actually called, Name the Thunder. And I mean, I just couldn't be more proud to have such a team. They are just, not only are they impressive on the court, but they're just great young men. Just outstanding, giving back to the community, everything. But I will tell you that, in my opinion, our most valuable asset we have, and I know everybody has talked about this, but Mr. Sam Presti.
Yeah.
Just a stud. I mean, look at what we did last night. We had the 15th pick, and we got a stud out of Georgetown, 6'10". I was going to call you all when I was on the ground at the parade. I actually drove from Dallas and went to the parade, but no cell service. But I really appreciate it, guys. I just wanted to, get my voice out there and just say how proud I am.
Yeah, right back.
OKC Thunder.
Thanks
Thunder
again.
Up.
Thanks for the call. Up. Fitz in Dallas. Waving the Thunder flag, and why not? He mentioned what the Thunder did last night. Thomas Sorber out of Georgetown.
Yeah.
He was drafted 15th overall. And the interestingly enough, the Thunder acquired that pick in a trade. Isn't that weird? From the Clippers.
That was the
trade, the first round pick, second to last first round pick that they had remaining from the Paul George acquisition years ago. So the ripple effect of that building block that brought them SGA, the MVP of the NBA this year, to help them on an 84-win season, including the playoffs.
Amazing.
That trade gave them a draft pick last night. By the way, how many more centers can they use, right? How many yachts do they want to water ski behind, right?
All of them.
I guess, just best player available. Oh, and by the way, you know what they did? They had the 24th overall pick last night as well. They traded that away to Sacramento for, guess what?
More
a first-round pick next year.
Yeah.
Next year, where they'll have their own, the last first-round pick from the Clippers.
Jeez.
And the one that they got last night for shoving the 24th overall selection into next year's draft. So, by the way, they could draft Neek Clifford out of Colorado State, have him stroll up to the podium, I'm sorry, in a Thunder hat, and then say, he's really a Sacramento King, everybody. He's really, just the visual on the screen does not match the actual facts on the ground. I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep beating the drum like I'm SVP. But,
well, you feel a certain type of way about drafts.
Well, no,
so it makes sense.
No, and here's why I think if I speak for Scott too. Listen, we're all partners in the same game here, right? Mm-hmm. We really are. I mean, we'll call out what we see fit of being called out from a league or an association, mm-hmm. or a team or what have you. But the bottom line is a thriving NBA draft for shows like this or like Scott's last night that had to follow the draft. It's better if you're interested or not, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Clearly. I mean, we want to talk sports that you're interested in, okay? And it makes it more difficult for us to keep you interested or explain what the hell's going on if you're confused by the visual not matching the facts the reporters or hosts are saying. Help us help you. At least that's my impetus here, and I imagine that's it for Scott too, because it's such an easy thing. Just let him put the damn hat on of the team that's acquiring him.
Like, imagine, right? Imagine why 2 months ago, right?
Tell the lawyer
Travis
that's saying
Hunter
you can't do it enough.
Comes out and he's taking all the pictures wearing the Browns hat,
yeah,
and the Browns, yeah, jersey, and then
this just in.
Oh, excellent, hold on a point. Second. In a couple weeks, he's actually going to be a Jaguar. So just like throw those out and then take new pictures.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Take new pictures. It's like, one last thing, I'll make one last. It's like taking a picture with your ex-girlfriend on your wedding day.
Didn't
like. These are pictures that you're going to be looking at for the rest of your life. It's going to be in an album. But wait a minute, it's not really the one that you're getting hitched to.
It's the one that got away.
It's the one that it was your first.
That sounds like the latest Morissette song you just dropped there.
You know what I mean? Yeah, this draft is like rain on your wedding day. A free ride when you've already paid.
I just saw
what else we got.
He's good live.
That would have been bad if Travis Hunter was
a green light when you're already late.
Wearing a brown.
Did you Google that?
No.
Okay.
TJ knows.
Who just got in your ear to tell you that?
I once produced the concert series of a line.
Okay. TJ's a good lyricist.
A green light when you're already late. That's what this is.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a picture forever. Except I never played for that team.
Won the lottery and died the next day.
Right. Now you Google that.
See.
No.
Okay.
No, Brockman knows this.
You really know.
That's
Phil Jeff Teague.
Okay,
yeah,
very good.
That's his.
Yep.
That Brockman, that's his.
Derek in Missouri, our long time, not first time. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Rich. You guys were talking about Michael Jackson's passing earlier. That was a bizarre week. I don't know if you remember, but that same day, Farrah Fawcett, one of the original Charlie's Angels, passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
And the 3 days beforehand, the great Ed McMahon also passed.
Huh. That was the three that week, huh? Look at you, Derek. That's some interesting information. And if the Teague family was crying over the passing of Michael Jackson on his draft day, then my teenage self was crying about the passing of Farrah Fawcett. Majors. What's on your mind, Derek?
So I wanted to give my take and my 2 cents about what you guys were talking about yesterday. If Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge, if they retired today, would he be in the Hall of Fame?
Okay.
For me, I would say Shohei obviously would be in just because what he's already accomplished. And for me, with Judge, I mean, with all due respect, Rich, I mean, for me right now, it's a hard no because you got to have that World Series ring. It's, you know, I mean, you got the stats and records and such, but the ring matters much too as well. And one more thing before you let me go, Rich, I got a side question for all three of you, if I may.
Yes.
Name me the best quarterback, running back, and wide receiver that are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame that don't have a Super Bowl ring.
All right, hold on a minute here. You're kind of reverse engineering if players currently in sports are already Hall of Famers if they don't play anymore. You're reverse engineering saying who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a quarterback, running back, and wide receiver who have never won a ring. And thank you for the call, Derek. I will give you right off the top of my head.
Dan Marino.
Marino is the quarterback. Barry Sanders is the running back.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the wide receiver, that's a good one.
Randy Moss.
Or T.O.
Megatron, too.
T.O. never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So it would have to be Moss, T.O., or Megatron, I would think.
I think Randy Moss trumps all those guys.
I don't know, man. I look at these debates all the time. A lot of people will put T.O.
over
Moss.
We didn't stutter Marino or Barry Sanders, Marino, right? I mean, we're simple. We're good on those, right?
I mean, you could also put Jim Kelly. LaDainian Tomlinson. Ooh, Jim
that's
Kelly.
That's a good one, too.
Jim Kelly.
Thurman Thomas.
That's a good one, too.
Andre Reed, then. There's just...
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could name anybody from that Bills team. Yeah. A dynastic team that never won a Super Bowl.
I was telling Hoskins that yesterday after the show. I was like, I don't think we give Jim Kelly enough credit.
No, please. Let me just quickly give Jim Kelly his credit.
Please do. Oh, I know.
When you see the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the stadium next door, named after Tom Benson now, it's been totally renovated. It used to be just a... I guess I shouldn't say, but run of the mill, if you will, high school stadium and
nondescript.
And the Pro Football Hall of Fame always had their induction ceremonies in front of the steps of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, between the steps and I-77.
Yep. Okay. Yeah,
and there was this grassy area that used to fit all the fans that were coming until Jim Kelly got in. And you could draw a line from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, from Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Canton, Ohio. You could just draw a straight line, and fans went from one through the other to get to see Jim Kelly go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And they had to move the ceremony to the stadium. And that's when they said, you know what? This is kind of a better setup.
Yep.
And let's keep it here. Jim Kelly's the reason why the ceremony's now inside that stadium. And for anybody who goes into the Hall of Fame and is sitting on that stage, everyone enshrined from that day forward, and anybody who was enshrined in the previous days who are fortunate enough to still be around and also ambulatory enough to attend, all those football heroes on the stage, if they at one point figured, looking down at their watch, it's been a couple hours, I could use a libation. There's a green room just off to the side. I was told once upon a time it was under the stage to start. That was created by Jim Kelly, who is like, these things go on for hours.
We need a drink.
We need some, I guess, some speech oil. Speech oil. And let's go. And it used to be actually initially in an area. Because again, there's a school there.
Yeah.
And that's where our green room is, inside of a conference room in the school.
Oh, where?
Yes. Just off of like a cafeteria space, where kids are normally going to school, but obviously school's out for summer when the Hall of Fame is happening. The initial green room was in the school.
I remember that.
They kept stuff on ice in the school.
Yeah.
Because Jim's like, we got to go somewhere where it's cool and we could get something that is cool.
Right.
And I mean, Jim Kelly, you know, is a Hall of Famer in many respects.
Don't you have another story where there was something going on at a bar and it was too slow and he hopped over?
Yeah. Chris was there. You want to tell that part, Chris?
Sure. So the hotel where all the Hall of Famers and a lot of the people who are there for the weekend have been staying, there's one bar downstairs.
Okay.
And we were there.
One hotel bar.
We were there one of the years, and it's just afterward, and it is just packed. Hall of Famers everywhere. We were talking to Jonathan Ogden. Madden was holding court. in one of the corners in one of the last years that he was there. And there was one bartender tending bar for
all of those
150 people, maybe. And it was not going quickly at all. Jim Kelly on the other side was just like, all right, I got it. It jumps the bar, goes in, and starts helping serve everyone. And needless to say, we got our drinks fast, and they were heavy pours.
Only one word, only one word can describe that, and that's leadership.
Right?
Absolutely.
He's a leader.
Yeah.
He was a leader.
Hall of Fame leader.
I didn't.
It was a great night. It was an absolutely great night.
But he also noticed the bartenders and waitstaff were overwhelmed by the number of patrons.
Insanely and he's like, overwhelmed.
I will jump on a bar and help out.
Uh-huh. And we all got absolutely blitzed.
I had no idea this was going to turn into a Jim Kelly toast. Yeah.
Here we go. He could
pick a spot.
Let me tell you something. That man is also a Hall of Famer reader of the Blitz.
That's right.
He could, a little shot pouring things.
He could notice the Blitz.
Yeah, he was not using the measurement.
The one ounce.
One you get one. That's it.
God bless
eye test.
Jim Kelly.
Oh. I'm so glad that got brought up.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So, long story short, the wide receiver we're throwing in here would be anybody that Jim Kelly threw to.
He's on
or Randy.
Randy or Megatron.
Megatron.
Yeah, you gotta add him.
Interesting. And those are Hall of Famers who.
Did we mention LaDainian?
The best ones who don't have a ring. And you know,
at running back.
I mean, listen, I love LT, and he's as great as they come. Barry Sanders.
Oh, yeah, I'm just giving you another example. Obviously, it's Barry. Right. But.
All right. Interesting. Those are the Hall of Famers that don't have a ring. And now, I guess that leads us to the latest edition, because we started this on our Wednesday show, and we're going to keep doing it, because I think we kind of dig it. We have tons of names to throw your way of the concept. Who, if is currently an athlete, that 100% is terrific, if this person decided not to play another game,
or couldn't?
Are they in the Hall of Fame with what we've already seen? It's a segment we call Who Wants to Be a Hall of Famer? And today's subject is, speaking of Buffalo Bills quarterback, Josh Allen.
Who wants to be a Hall of Famer?
Is that your final answer?
All right. I like it. I like the drop. I like the graphic. Well done, Smitch and Hoskins and all the folks. Part of the Rich Eisen Show production squad.
Love it.
All right, TJ, you broke the tie yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to start us off right now? Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills quarterback. Let me give you his numbers.
Okay.
All right. He's an MVP of the league right now. Three-time Pro Bowler, two-time second-team All-Pro. He's 75th all-time in passing yards with 36,000. He's 59th all time in passing touchdowns. He gets five this year, which he will. He'll have 200 in his career. His rushing, he's seventh in rushing yards for quarterbacks, 4,142 rushing yards, 65 rushing touchdowns, and second in that regard. One of the greatest, as you could see, rushing quarterbacks ever. He's won five consecutive AFC East titles, first player ever with five straight seasons with 40 or more total touchdowns. No one's ever done that. Is that enough, TJ Jefferson, to make him a Hall of Famer if he decides no more football?
This is tough, right?
That's why we chose him as the first NFL player
because
who wants to be a Hall of Famer.
The stats are incredible for you know where he's at in his career. But you got to look at some of the great quarterbacks who aren't in the Hall of Fame, right? And you put his career up against theirs. And I think right now a lot of people would say no. But, you see, I feel a little different about Josh Allen. I might be biased, and this is the reason why. This is why.
Do you have any questions for me?
Is TJ in there?
He is.
Oh, God.
TJ's right there. Go for it.
I think night before draft,
yes.
I had an interview with him. I think I gave him like his first interview on your show.
Okay.
Very true, Josh Allen. Very true, brother. How you doing, man?
Is that right?
That is right. You did. It was we were leaving AT&T Stadium. I caught you. I asked, could I talk to you? You were like, sure. We took a little short walk to the bus.
Well, it's the most important part of this story, TJ. Yeah, what is that?
I said, I'm from the Rich Eisen show. Can I talk to you?
I was like, of course. For sure. Like, as soon as it said Rich Eisen, I was like, I'm in.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so you obviously.
Production value and. Self-congratulations?
I mean,
well, consult your doctor if you need medication to combat that.
Well done,
this is just helping my argument. So sometimes you need something to put a thumb on the scale, as Brockman like to say. So because of that, because Josh Allen is my man, and because he remembered that moment, Josh Allen, yes, I'm putting him in the Hall of Fame.
That's absurd. I mean, Josh Allen is a fine player. Really, I really enjoy watching him, despite the fact that he plays for the Buffalo Bills. But he's only been in the league 7 years. He has the graphic was there was a typo. He's only has 26,000 career yards. He has 8,000 yards less and 50 touchdowns less than someone you love, TJ, Tony Romo. Like, yeah, I get the MVP last year, but make a Super Bowl, win a championship.
Yeah,
let's play a little bit longer. Let's double your career, then you're going to get there. He's on a nice path. But as of right now, if he never played again, Josh Allen not getting a gold jacket.
Yeah, 29 years old, 26,434 passing yards. That's 75th all time. He does have the franchise record for the Buffalo Bills for single season passing yards and touchdowns. I think one day I'm going to see him in the Hall of Fame. I think one day he will have a bust in the Hall of Fame. I just think he needs more days as an NFL player for that to happen. Just knowing how the voting process takes place. And whenever we do this segment and it's an NFL player, I'm going to be a little bit more well-informed than maybe other sports because of having intimate knowledge of the voting process. I just know that when Philip Rivers comes up for votes,
it's going to be a hot debate.
And Eli Manning isn't in yet. And it took a few rounds for Kurt Warner to get in. Yeah. That these numbers are not going to get him in. Despite him being one of the best in the league, despite him being an MVP one time, he's not made it to the Super Bowl. And these numbers just do not support him being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, despite him being clearly one of the best, clearly, you know, one of the best Buffalo Bills at the position of all time.
He's on an amazing 5-year run right now.
Clearly being one of the most athletic players to ever play the position.
Facts.
Clearly, I mean, a Hall of Fame person, that does help too, by the way.
Look, that's why he got my vote.
And all of that combined, though, he does need to do this more.
And let me interview him?
No, I do think he needs to do this more, what he's been doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now, he's the one of the foils to Mahomes.
Yep.
And I need to get him to be the foil.
If he beats Mahomes and wins the Super Bowl now.
Next year?
Yeah. Are you told? Is your opinion?
We
still
might be. I think still
not there.
It's still tough. I mean, look, Eli's not
first
in yet.
Ballot,
Joe Theismann.
He still needs more time, I think.
Josh Allen is a much better quarterback than Eli Manning. Let's just put that out there. Not as accomplished.
That's the thing.
In terms of Super Bowl victories, but Eli Manning was never close to sniffing an MVP. He's a 500 quarterback in terms of record, whether or not you think QB wins is a stat, should be a stat.
Right.
I mean, Josh Allen wins. He's 75% of his games right now. Yeah.
But
on top of the running ability.
No argument that he's damn close, though, right? Allen?
On the path.
To Hall of Fame right now?
He's close.
No, not really. I mean, he doesn't even have 30,000 yards passing.
He will by the end of this year.
He isn't even at 200 touchdowns yet.
He will by the end of this year.
I find the Eli argument really funny because all we do is talk about Super Bowl wins and how you have to win Super Bowls and this, that, and the third.
Well,
he's got two rings, and yet people are still like, normally well,
that, normally that, of all time.
Listen, you know, normally that will put you in, certainly since you've beaten the GOAT
twice.
So, right. With one throw that was helmeted and another one that was dropped perfectly in the bucket to Mario Manningham. Those were the two moments from these Super Bowls.
Those games were more about the Giants' defense.
I get it.
Yep.
Eli's right. All right, Eli's a Hall of Famer.
He definitely
he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but you know the rest of it
maybe not first
prevented
ballot,
it first obviously. Ballot. Correct. Yeah. So Josh Allen, the latest subject of our who wants to be a Hall of Famer. What say you? 844-204 Rich number to dial. Matt Barnes is here.
Yeah.
So let's take a break. It. Let's bring up, and then when we come back, we'll have some smoke. Not all of it. Let's talk about coffee, people. If you're like me, your day cannot begin until you've had your first cup. Whether you're gearing up for back-to-back meetings, shuttling kids back and forth to activities, tackling an endless to-do list, your morning sets the tone for it all, and the perfect cup of coffee sets that tone, crafted just for you. Enter Trade. Trade is my number one U.S. coffee destination, bringing you fresh coffee from over 50 of the country's top roasters. Trade's experts have taste-tested thousands of coffees to curate over 450 amazing roasts. Just take their quiz, and under a minute, they'll match you with your perfect coffee. If that first bag isn't quite right, Trade will replace it for free until they nail it. And if you're headed out on summer vacation with Trade's subscription flexibility, you can pause or shift delivery while you're away and resume when you're home, ensuring you'll come home to great coffee, iced coffee too. So, right now, Trade is exclusively offering our listeners 50% off your one-month trial at drinktrade.com/Eisen. That's drinktrade, TRADE.com/Eisen for 50% off your one-month trial. DrinkTrade.com/Eisen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku Sports Channel, radio audience returns in 2 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, a 14-year veteran in the NBA, a UCLA Bruin, and along with Steven Jackson, brings you all the smoke. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Barnes.
Good to be back. Good to be back. What's up, fellas?
You're in the smokeless environment of the Rich Eisen Show.
Well, I made sure we took care of that earlier.
Not at all. Understood. Good to see you.
Good to be seeing. What's going on?
Yeah, nothing much, man. We're just hanging out here, just trying to take in last night's draft.
Interesting.
What did you find interesting about it?
It was the first draft I watched in a while because I'd kind of been following this crop of kids. Interesting to see how Ace Bailey does. I think he's a tremendous talent. And I think his antics or his management antics had him slide a few slots that he didn't want to slide to. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was one away from apparently
I guess what he wanted. So it almost happened.
It almost happened.
It almost happened.
But it just takes one team to just say,
yeah,
oh, we don't care if you don't
want to be Danny Ainge is that kind of guy. That's why I like Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge put a plug in that. So really interesting because, I mean, tremendous talent. Seeing him play live. Got a chance to see Cooper play live. Like I said, this is kind of the class I got a chance to see. So right. Really excited. What I kind of found interesting was, and I think this is kind of the disconnect from my era to this era, is a lot of these kids you don't know anything about. Like, there's no storylines. You couldn't really follow them in college and understand what they had there because there's a lot of overseas guys and or the one and done. So there's a lot of kids that went in the first round that I was mm-hmm. just like, I think I know this game pretty well, but I have no idea who. And that's not a knock on their talent by any means. They're just not really names that you've got a chance to grow accustomed to yet.
Right, and that's, again, we were just talking about it before. You know, the NFL draft, when somebody's drafted, you're like, oh.
You know their storyline.
I saw mm-hmm. that guy light it up in the yep. Big 12. I saw that person light it up in the SEC. Mm-hmm. I know that's a defensive player of the year from, you know, from the Big Ten that slid to the fourth round. Mm-hmm. Here, it's just like, oh, I guess I got to Google the Adriatic League.
Yeah, and then sometimes you look at their numbers and their numbers aren't overwhelming and you're just like, okay, well, let's wait and see what happened. So I think that's the only thing I kind of took away is like they're not, and I guess you can call some college guys household names, but I just remember my era, like you said, to the football point you just made, you kind of got to see their trajectory and know their past body of work and then, you know, have expectations for them once they make it. But with basketball now, it's so young and the one and dones and the influx of talent from overseas, you just don't know any of these kids.
Yeah, last two years, a lot of G League at the mm-hmm. top. And now you're seeing this was more of, I guess, an international influence as well. Matt Barnes of All the Smoke here on the Rich Eisen Show. You said Ace Bailey, you saw him play. What do you think?
Oof, put the ball in the basket. It was interesting too because obviously he was listed at 6'10", but I guess without shoes they said 6'7". So he's probably 6'8", 6'8 and a half. But mm-hmm. outside of that, his ability to put the ball in the basket is incredible. His length, his three-level scoring, just really impressed. But I didn't know him at all as a person. So that was the kind of the one thing that I just – you know, you hate to see young players, whether it's them or their representation, kind of get them off to the wrong foot in this league, because this league is kind of like high school from a standpoint of everyone's always gossiping about someone and a reputation can, you know, really harm you or harm your money. And I just hate for, you know, guys to get into situations and harming their money before they get a chance to actually show their talent. But I liked every time he spoke, he's like, hey, I'm keeping the main thing. Basketball is my main thing, and that's what I'm going to focus on. So, you know, moving forward, Utah probably wasn't the landing destination he wanted to be in, but he's there now, and I'm sure he's going to put his best foot forward.
Obviously, I'm you know, I chalked up a lot of his comments where he was keeping the main thing. I'm talking about basketball. As somebody was just like, just say that.
Yeah.
Just say that. Yep. And even if it doesn't fit, we'll get you through the interviews and get you drafted and get you done.
Right.
Because he's 18 and he's just taking the advice, I imagine. You know, that said, I couldn't imagine the Sixers, if it is true that Bailey's like, yeah, I don't want to come to do dinner. I'm not breaking bread unless you give me a guarantee that you're taking me. How can you draft that player after they say that and then look at the rest of the organization and say, you know, please do what we're asking of you when we asked it of somebody who's not even part of our organization and then made him part of our organization? It's tough. Like,
tough,
you know,
call.
It's tough call.
But I
there,
say
right?
with all due respect, I would much 10 out of 10 times rather be in Philly than Utah. You know what I mean? So I just think from a city standpoint, obviously there's talent in Utah. Or excuse me. There's talent in Utah, but, you know, talent in Philly, it's a little up in the air what Embiid and PG are going to be to that franchise moving forward. But, you know, you have Maxey and the kid that got hurt this year.
You know, again,
Jared McCain.
Yeah, you know, so you put those two with an up-and-coming 6'8 score. I mean, I think that's you're building for the future. Regardless of what PG and Embiid situations are. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I would have been probably the same. If I'm in a GM position, I'm saying F your demands. I'm like Danny Ainge and I'm gonna take the best player available. So I would have definitely took him at 3, knowing what the upside is and again being 18, he was probably heavily influenced by his camp and you just, you know, hope that basketball is basketball.
So you think the Sixers should have just taken him?
I think so. I think so.
Because of what? Because the eye test, talent over everything.
Talent, yeah, talent. And again, at a young, I mean, I was even immature in my 20s. You know what I mean? So you always know that people are going to outgrow the immaturities that they may possibly come into the league with. But mm-hmm. talent, his talent is undeniable. So I'm really excited for him. He's landed somewhere, and we're just going to have to see what happens.
You got a comp for what Cooper Flagg's career is going to wind up being?
Ooh. I mean, I think that the sky's the limit for this kid. I think what I love about him is his motor. You know, I got a chance to see, and I coach in this AU space, and it's a lot of entitled kids that think they're better than they are. But the one thing I loved about him was, yeah, it's bad. This kid had a motor on both ends of the ball, and I think he actually may be better on the defensive end as he continues to improve his level of his scoring. But his athleticism, his defensive prowess, how hard he plays, and then landing, I don't know how this happened, and I think the Mavericks' job is, the only job is to not screw this up with management, to be able to be a team that has that type of roster, that caliber of coach, and land the number one pick. I think that was some, they were playing with the balls, no pun intended, nice. For that to happen. Extremely excited to see what he is on this level.
Did you just throw out a conspiracy theory?
I think it happens every once in a while. For Bron to land somewhere, to Derrick Rose to land somewhere, for Bron to leave and Kyrie to land somewhere. I mean, I think there's a business of basketball behind that.
Kind of like what O'Shea was saying.
It's O'Shea Jackson Jr. said that in that chair.
Did he?
And just 2 days ago. And I'll say this, but okay. How does that happen in your mind?
I don't know.
Like, is there a meeting somewhere?
Crazy.
Like Adam Silver tells somebody else, hey. Like, this is what's going to happen. Clearly don't tell the 29 other franchises, we've decided to put the thumb on the scale for a franchise that made a deal that almost burned their entire house down, okay, with the fan base going crazy. But let's do them a solid and hand them the number one overall pick, and let's bring in a CPA firm. Let's put their reputation on the line. How does this work?
I think it might be above both of our pay grades and our classification levels.
All right,
but
it's not a Zoom.
That can be
no
cracked.
Memos,
I think it's down in a dark tunnel with people. You know, you probably can't see the. It's okay. Lightly. You know, the lights are dimmed.
It's a darkness retreat. Is it like they go through Aaron Rodgers to create this?
It's a
thing?
Secret society. All they ask is trust.
Is it? I like that.
Then how come Zion didn't end up on the Knicks?
Yeah,
what good the call. Hell? Maybe.
You only get it once, I guess.
Yeah, it's
the
not
Knicks,
full
they got a Ewing. That was the right. They got the. Hey man, you got one in the freezer back in the '80s. You know, we're not going to give you another one.
Like storing eggs.
So do you want to? You mentioned Matt Barnes here on the Rich Eisen Show. You mentioned you're an AAU coach. You want to take a stab at the idea that these Achilles injuries that are happening are maybe born out of?
I do. I think I was born in 1980, and I think my generation of kids, and I don't know if anyone else in here was, we played outside and we played every sport under the sun.
Yes.
And as I've become a father, my twins are 16 now, I just felt like everything has become more specialized. And if you play another sport or two other sports, you kind of get behind in your main sport. I was someone who lettered in four sports in high school, football, baseball, basketball, track, All-American in football and basketball. And I felt like the cumulative work from all those different sports helped me, achieve what I achieved in the league. But also from a standpoint of, you know, you're seeing little kids' arms blown out of, you know, you're seeing Tommy John at a younger age. You're just seeing so sports specific so young. And I feel like year round, we never had year round anything. Everything was always seasonal. Basketball for me was, you know, you got some school basketball. And then when I was in high school, you had AAU for 2 or 3 months. And there was no 15, 16, 17. As a freshman, if you're good enough to play AAU, you're playing against the best kids. You're playing against the 18-year-olds. So there was only one type of basketball. But I say all that to say, just year-round doing the same training, the same conditioning, the same, that's just wear and tear on your body. On top of just how dynamic and explosive and how these kids start and stop now. You know, it looks beautiful on paper the way Shea can go full speed and stop on a dime and step left or right or step through, or Tatum and all these other stars are doing. But it's got to be, you know, it's got to have some wear and tear on your body, whether it's the shoes. I think the shoes could play a small part.
Nick
I don't
Van
necessarily.
Exel said you wrap your ankles up, that the low riders are a problem.
I don't think so, because, I mean, when you tape your ankle, like, I don't think there's a shoe out there that's going to keep an Achilles from coming from tearing. I just don't see it that way. I just see it more as these kids are playing 100-plus games in the summer. Some of them are. You know, I don't allow my – and I think where the excess games come is where if kids are jumping from team to team and getting – a ton of run, which could help their growth, but at the same time, it's the wear and tear on their body. But again, Rich, the likeliness of these kids making it to the league is you know, you better chance of getting struck by lightning. So these kids are playing a lot of basketball, but if you are able to get to that top level, which is the NBA, I just feel like if you've gone through 4 years of AAU, you've probably put anywhere from 2, 3, 4 years of grind on your body by the time you get to the league. And then the league is no joke. The pace of play is high as it's been since the 70s. And again, how fast and athletic and how these kids are stopping on the dime and moving the way they move. It's scary how many, it's kind of like the new ACL tear. There was a wave where ACL tears were the wave for a while in the league. Now, right, unfortunately, Achilles tears are the wave. And I just, you know, as a fan of the game, I just, I hate to see it. And I wish that whether it be shoe companies or doctors or whoever needs to figure this out for this league to kind of help prevent this.
So it's sort of a ticking clock the minute you start to specialize only in one sport.
It seems like it.
So
yeah.
It goes back to the way you're being developed as a teenager or late adolescent?
Yeah. You're pounding. I mean, I didn't train, and some people probably could say, like, I see through your game. Nice. I didn't train for the league until I was in the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, I did everything else. I went from sport to sport. In college, I played a lot of basketball in the offseason, but it was never real training. These kids are training now at 6, 7, 8 years old. And again, if it's basketball is what their parents think they're going to make it in, it's just basketball training from the time they start until hopefully the time they make the NBA. And it's the same movement on your feet, movement on your hips, movement on your knees. It's just the same. It's the same repetition. So you don't ever get to go to another sport where you're training different muscles and different parts of your body. So I firmly believe, and again, being entrenched in this AAU system, the kids are playing way too many games. I think on the flip side, and I think this also carries into why you see such an influx of Europeans in this game. The European kids will practice 4 or 5 days to possibly play a game or two on the weekend. We might get one practice in to play 6 games on the weekend. You know what I mean? So where are you developing? Where are you learning the ins and outs and the execution of the game? Really, it's just about what tournaments you win. I'm seeing 17-year-old freshmen and 18-year-old, 19-year-old sophomores. It's just, AAU is an absolute mess right now.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people. If you're like me, then you are just not yourself when you get a bad night's sleep. Look, sleep plays an important, crucial role in recovery. We're all unique in what we need from our bed, too. That's where Sleep Number can step in. Sleep Number smart beds are the best beds for couples because you can individualize each side. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but we like our side of the bed the way that we like it. Being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out, too, for recovery, it's game-changing. So, why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? I just told you, but I'll do it again. So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. And now, it's the Sleep Number 4th of July sale. Save over $600 on the Sleep Number P5 King smart bed. The lowest price of the season. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See the store or sleepnumber.com for details.
Savor every last drop of summer with Starbucks. From bold refreshers to rich cold brews, the sunniest season only gets better with a handcrafted iced beverage in your hand. Available for a limited time. Your summer favorites are ready at Starbucks.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Matt Barnes is here. I'd love to get your opinion on this as well. Of the first 12 years of Adam Silver's commissionership, 9 different franchises have won. And the reason why it's not 12 for 12 is the Warriors won 3 other ones, including one that you were part of.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on why we're seeing so many different franchises have a crack here?
I mean, I think it's a good thing, first and foremost. I mean, Adam's first year was my year with the Clippers when he banned Donald Sterling. That was kind of his first executive action. So he came in the hot seat hot, and I think he's done a good job. Obviously, there's things that can be improved, but
what would that be? You could wave a wand right now. What would you make to change?
You put me on the spot.
That's the only
make
thing
Matt
I do.
The commissioner for the day.
I'm providing some smoke right here.
I would say, would say, it bringing back defense. I think allowing.
How do you do that?
I mean, it's crazy because it's something that's taught. Like defense isn't even a necessity again in the AAU and ranks, but. I think in the playoffs we were able to see a little bit more physicality and guys, you know, outside of Shea, you know, get to the foul line a ton. It was more just flow of the game and guys were getting, you know, you could play a little bit more physical.
Right.
I think there needs to be a balance because I also think at the same time the explosion of the offensive game has helped the game grow internationally because people don't want to see those old school. I grew up in the 80s, again, Pistons and Bulls and Lakers and Celtics and your clothesline and Kurt Rambis and only getting a technical foul. Like I grew up on that kind of basketball. So obviously they needed to kind of balance that out. It was a little too physical for the liking, but I think there needs to be some kind of balance of, you know, bringing the game back to the defensive side and allowing people to really play defense. I think that would probably be the one change that I would make. I think I'd make playoff basketball more regular season basketball.
What about moving the 3-point line back? Because it just seems like everybody's hoisting from three now. And and you're seeing transition threes more than ever because three is more than two, right?
Crazy.
And it definitely does not look good. It's a tougher watch from time to
it's
time.
It's nasty there. I mean, you'll catch spurts of games where there's, you know, seven consecutive threes shot and all missed.
Back and forth.
All missed.
Right.
Back and forth. And it's because we were learned you run for layups. You know, now kids are taught to run to the 3-point line, which is, you know, a little bit backwards. But, you know, I think, you know, we credit Steph for so much of evolution of this game. But I also think people that have kind of adopted his style of play or Clay's style of play don't shoot like them.
Yeah, not everyone can shoot from the logo.
Play is simple. Yeah. Guys you don't know? Shoot like, okay, I want to be like Mike. You don't jump or play like him. And now I want to be like Steph, but you don't shoot like him. So where's kind of the balance of, you know, understanding good possession? And then you throw analytics in the game where they say only a three or a layup and no mid-range. And I just think – I don't know. I think we've got away from the eye test and just the IQ of basketball. And I think if we can get back to both those, I think we can balance the game out. But I'm not one of these older players like up here. I love the game still. I still love to watch it. And I'm not one of these older guys complaining. But if you're asking questions on what I think could have some improvement, it would be
what
probably
about the
most
corner
serious.
Three, eliminating the corner three.
That's where I made my money. I'm not
that's
trying to
the
lose.
Three why would you eliminate that?
But that's the whole
the
point.
The closest three, right?
Yeah, it's only 22 feet.
But
why
I would be interested
to
see, like, is that I would still think because of the way the game is, I would still think, and I would it'd be interesting to see have someone check it out. I think there's still more above the arc threes
attempts,
because that's
yeah,
what people
maybe.
Are running in transition. You know what I mean? I think the swing get you the corner threes, but I think in transition people are running to the arcs and letting it fly.
Matt Barnes will take us to the end of the hour here. What was your draft like
for
you? Your second round is tonight, and there's a lot of kids waiting to hear their names
second
like you
pick.
Were.
It was kind of
2002.
Just, man, hope it works. Hope it works out.
Where were you?
I was at a friend's house. We had a pool party on barbecue at a friend's house, and I was, I want to say, like the 42nd pick, so the 12th pick in the second round.
You were 46th.
46th pick. There you go. I'm getting older. I forget. So just hoping that it worked out and hoping that I landed in a situation. So I was drafted to Memphis and traded for Wesley Person to Cleveland and never really got a lick in Cleveland. So I went from 2 weeks of training camp maybe in Cleveland to it used to be the D League back then, and it was D. It was nasty. Fayetteville, North Carolina. To me, Rich, that experience, because I think a lot of kids exhale when they get drafted, like, oh, I've made it, and it's the furthest thing from the truth. The journey has just begun once you've been drafted.
So you were drafted by the
Grizzlies,
traded
to Cleveland
on the spot,
draft day, yeah,
right.
for Wesley Person. Yeah.
One of those, that's what's kind of confusing for a lot of people, because the new league year is after the draft. That these. You got to go through these moments where it's not like, well, look who's on the clock right now. Mm-hmm. It's the Cavs. No, it's the Grizzlies doing it for the Cavs. What have you? Did somebody from Cleveland call your cell phone?
They might have called my agent. I didn't get nothing. I just heard, oh, you're drafting to Memphis. And then 5 minutes later, actually, you're going to Cleveland. I'm like, oh, Okay. Both are nasty cities, but let's do
look
it.
Look at you.
So then when did you finally, you think, get your head screwed on right where you knew what professional basketball was and to become a champion and whatever?
Man, I was mixed up in numbers because I wasn't necessarily getting a chance to play. I did what I was supposed to do in the D League, got a 10-day with the Clippers. And I think where I messed up was this is when I went to the Clippers in 2003. They were just a bad team. And this was the same time that the Sacramento Kings were winning. So every summer, although I wasn't necessarily in the league, I was still, Chris Webber was my mentor, my big bro. So I got to work out with Sacramento in the summertime.
Uh-huh.
And I had an opportunity to go back for a 2-year minimum deal with the Clippers. But this is the wave of Sacramento versus Lakers. And I was just like, man, I'm back at home and I'm training. And Adelman saw me training that summer and liked what he saw. So I was just like, hey, I'm going to respectfully pass on the opportunity with the Clippers and I'm going to take this deal in Sacramento. And then I got traded with C. Webb to Philly and the marathon began. Yeah. And that was, whew, tough sled. And I went out to Philly for the first time with no coat, Chuck Taylors, and just sweatshirts. And I was just like, oh, it was a rude awakening. Oh, boy. Oh, I didn't have no shoes, no coat, no nothing. I was miserable.
What happened? I mean, you went shopping is what you did.
Yeah, Webb took me shopping. AI took us to this place where everyone gets their stuff. And
give me your favorite Allen Iverson story, please.
Favorite story I can tell.
Nice.
No, AI was amazing, man. I had a lot of fun because I wasn't playing. And again, I was kind of like Chris's little brother. So I was kind of just guilty by association. I got to drag along with stuff. But there would be times where we would land off road trip and there would be a limo waiting and we'd go to Atlantic City that night and all three of us would get our, and I didn't pay for nothing,
right?
So I somehow got a penthouse suite and Louis the 13th was available. I'm just like, can I touch this stuff? Like, yeah, whatever you want, the room is yours. So I didn't realize back then that for gambling they would give you whatever. And I had some fun times, kind of eye-opening experiences, being with one of the greatest players of all time and kind of just being kind of like a little tag along. I was 21, 22 years old.
Yeah, and who was the coach in Philly at the time?
First we had Jim O'Brien.
Okay.
Who was, and then Mo Cheeks, my career almost ended before it started because I almost fought Mo Cheeks. He was caught on still kind of being a player and it broke my heart because I was a Mo Cheeks fan.
Right.
What he was able to do for that team and the way he led that team. But when he became the coach, he just kind of was too joking for a lot of people's liking, but particularly mine. And I wasn't playing, so I treated practice like games, and I would always do what you're supposed to get the extra work in. And I remember one time I was shooting with, and it was funny, I just talked to the shooting coach, Buzz. We found each other on social media, and I was shooting after practice one time, and he came in, and it was just me and the shooting coach. Like, I don't know why you're shooting. You're not going to get to shoot here. Ha, ha, ha. And I'm just like, you're a head coach. You're saying that. And then maybe a week later, we're in practice. And again, practices are my game. So I took a shot that I guess he thought was ill-advised and stopped practice. And you don't shoot that here. That's not what you're here for. That's why you don't play. So I kind of took off. I was going to pounce on him. And luckily, Chris grabbed me.
Webber.
And stopped me from doing it. But I was gonna put paws on Mo Cheeks. And to this day, I don't dislike anyone. I dislike still to this day Mo Cheeks.
All the smoke.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that. Woo. I've heard you tell that story. I was wondering if
it's about the explicitives because I know we can't talk the way we talk. But yeah, but you get the gist. The way he treated me and
damn,
it treated other guys was not cool, and it's probably why he, he's a lifelong assistant.
Chris Webber's Hall of Fame hands.
Yes,
came into the grip.
Yes.
Okay. So All the Smoke is just crushing it. You and Steven Jackson. Check it out on iHeart as well, right? iHeart is the and then you guys have your own label as well.
So yeah, we launched All the Smoke Productions January of last year, and it's been such a tremendous blessing. I mean, obviously we had Verticals in basketball, which we're doing well. We're launching our football department, so All the Smoke Football is coming.
Okay.
We already launched All the Smoke Fight, which is MMA and boxing. So we have Roy Jones and Andre Ward, kind of the head of the boxing side. We're in the fight side. Major League Baseball reached out to us, and actually they're having us come out to All-Star in Atlanta in July because they want a little bit more of our demographic in it. So I'm working with my brother CeCe on that. So it's just been incredible. I mean, partnerships with Netflix and Amazon, it's been a great transition, but a learning curve. I've enjoyed kind of learning the backside. I've been the talent in front of the camera, but learning the backside and understanding these deals and how they work and just kind of learning the game has been fun.
So is the first or the latest fight pod of all the smoke about the big three? And Steven?
Is it Lance
Stevenson and Dwight Howard? Can we get them on the All the Smoke fight vertical?
We need to. There was a lot of action for the big three. I'm happy for Q because the big three was, you know, questionable for a while. And then they started selling these franchises. And then all the drama that happened week one. I think to me, it's all good promotion for the league. So, I'm happy for Q.
Well, I mean, the video of Steven's post-game speech.
If you want to call it that,
I mean, have the Knicks reached out?
You want to call it that? Yeah, I mean,
reach out for permission.
My brother's turned—he's turned over a new leaf. Okay. But you know, sometimes when you push those old buttons, old instincts come out, and
there was malice.
Yes, there was almost malice. Thankfully, there wasn't. But goodness. Again, cooler heads prevailed. But again, it brought a ton of attention to the league.
No doubt. No doubt.
Which brings attention to you guys in your podcast. So it's, you know.
It's a trickle-down effect. I'm not mad at it. So
trickle-down effect. Spell the name right.
Right?
It's called B-I-G-3.
Yes. Matt, this 05-06 Philly team, interesting characters on it. Lou Will, rookie year. Yeah. Kyle Korver in his second year. Iguodala, rookie. Year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of fun guys on that
interesting
team.
Interesting guy. Rodney Rogers was an OG there, too.
Zendon Hamilton.
Yeah, Zendon Hamilton, yeah. Yeah,
Kevin Ollie.
Samuel Dallenberg, yep. Aaron McKee.
Yep.
C-Web.
Yeah.
One of my favorites, man.
Interesting squad.
They sent him out there to die off, unfortunately.
Oh, boy. Well, congrats on everything, man. I'm thrilled to hear about the NFL vertical, huh?
NFL, I can't officially say who's going to be the head of that because we're in negotiations with him right now. But we got a good name to kind of head that space. So yeah, it's been fun. And again, I'm a huge baseball fan, so looking to really jump in that space. And then hopefully by the end of the year, golf as well.
Golf. Yeah. All the smoke and golf.
Love it. Mm-hmm.
All right. That'll be interesting.
They go hand in hand, right?
We teamed up, too, real quick. Does. We teamed up with Netflix to do the Happy Gilmore 2 launch.
Mm.
So that's coming out. Okay. I think we're doing that in the middle of July or end of July, 27th, if I'm not mistaken, of July. So that was really exciting for me. First of all, being able to team up with Netflix just first and foremost, but just such a huge fan of Happy Gilmore and what that meant to my teenage years. So it's an honor to be able to be a part of that.
Great to see you, Matt Barnes.
Good to be seen.
Don't be a stranger, man. Sounds good. Come back anytime.
And congratulations to your guys'.
Thank you very much. Look at all of us. There's smoke all over us.
Hey, smoke in the green room. I'll see you guys in a little bit.
I'm on my way back.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
Inside the opening 45 seconds. What a goal! With that cannon of a left foot. All even at one.
Never miss a game.
What a start for the United States.
Shot for distance. What a goal!
Never miss a moment.
Exquisite from the San Diegan.
Can he finish? Yes, he can!
Yeah! The U.S. Soccer Podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.